This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, we're back. The band's back together again. The WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz on a beautiful Monday. Ike, how are we feeling?
Well, Brother Spike, it's good to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Long time no see.
Yep.
Jackie paternity leave.
Oh, look who's back.
Welcome back.
Oh.
My goodness. All of a sudden now, two, three?
He's getting there. A month. He's a month.
Oh, goodness. How at you, boy.
Who's Jack Fritz?
Good to be back.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, you happy to be back?
No, I'm thrilled.
We weren't so sure.
Well, honestly, like, if I heard one more about Harris's elite, I had to. That's the real reason I took off last week.
Well, yeah. Someone asked. They said, I said, I can guarantee you, if the Eagles had lost the Super Bowl and then Jalen Hurts threw three interceptions, there wouldn't be paternity leave this week.
Fritz would be here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He'd been riding the wave.
That's my quarterback style.
Yeah. Good to have you back, Jack Fritz.
Oh, good to be here.
Very, very good to have you back.
We'll decide that in 4 hours.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, I'm not going to, not going to add much, you know. Pretty overrated, honestly.
Well, I'm better than the alternative.
Well, the alternative is Fran.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. So, big show, as always. The Top 5-5 returns in its proper form at 5 o'clock. A.J. Brown was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast, said a few things. We'll talk about that as well. But
We have to
start off with the most depressing news of the day. Mm. Joel Embiid he's questionable, I think, still for tonight, but is definitely not going to play tonight. Shams reported that the team is looking at, and Joel Embiid are looking at, you know, alternative ways to make his knee better, which just won't get better. It gets swelled up again after the game get lost to the Nets the other day. So probably, I would assume, not going to play the rest of the year. And a season that we all looked at as potentially the most promising season of the Embiid era, and maybe the Embiid era overall, looks like it is over, not just over, just going down in flames.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Spike. I got my seatbelt on today.
Uh-oh.
Hope you got yours on today.
Always.
Well, here's the thing. There are so many different emotions going through me about Joel Embiid and the Sixers coming off this weekend, right? You know, the Sixers have had the benefit of sort of operating behind the scenes while the Eagles have been at the forefront of our thought process and everything. And listen, rightfully so, they played all the way up to the end. They won a Super Bowl championship. Shout out to the two-time Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. But I just, as I'm ready to dive into the Sixers and commit to the Sixers and see what we have going down the stretch, you know, Saturday was just a sobering reminder that this is hopeless. This is hopeless, pointless, useless, fruitfulness. And I'm sure as we go through these stages of grief and dealing with what's in front of us moving forward with this basketball team, particularly moving forward with the star of the team in Joel Embiid, there's going to be different stages that we go through where the anger gets pointed this way or pointed that way. And justifiably so. There's enough to go around. Players involved, front office involved, even an absentee ownership involved as far as where the frustration and anger should be placed. But I can't help but be as upset as I am right now at no other than Daryl Morey. Because quite frankly, Daryl Morey was brought here to do something different than the prior regimes. Daryl Morey was brought here with a resume that he has that should have led to fixing or completing what had started here years ago with the process through Brett Brown, through Doc Rivers. We already know about the front office, general manager, the incompetence that was displayed there, which ultimately led to Daryl Morey being here. But he truly was the last hope of putting this thing together and fixing it moving forward. I'm frustrated and upset at Joel Embiid, but I'm not going to sit here and act as if I didn't have belief in Joel Embiid, that I didn't ride or die for Joel Embiid. That's there. I'm a fan of Joel Embiid, but as a fan of Joel Embiid, I'm so disappointed in the way this is headed and how it's turned out. I feel like I've been led astray. I feel like I've been lied to. As a fan, I feel like I've been duped. I feel like I've been manipulated. And not just by Joel Embiid, but the Sixers as an organization and the person who's the face of the Sixers, as far as I'm concerned, from a management standpoint, is Daryl Morey. And Daryl Morey had to know that moving forward with Joel Embiid, past his contract that he was already under, was not good business. Bringing in Paul George was not good business. Offering him more money. Paul George was brought here and only really came here because we offered him more money. I don't believe Paul George really wanted to be a Sixer. I believe Paul George wanted to be a Clipper. But Paul George wanted to also be compensated. And what's the problem with a lot of these players in the league is that the money is what leads them at times. And that's what led Paul George to being here. He's given us a half-hearted effort, whether it's because of his physical limitations or his heart isn't all the way into it. What I know is it's not a representation of what we want as a basketball player representing this city and this team for us. Daryl Morey is in charge of that. Daryl Morey is responsible for that. And I feel like until he can explain to us, which I also feel like we've been left in the dark about a lot of things as fans, we're not getting full and truthful answers so that we can have some sort of reasonable understanding of what's happening and what our expectations should be. And Daryl Morey, in my opinion, is on the clock. He's on the clock for me. Because I don't know how he fixes what's wrong with this team right now, starting with the two top players on this team. Well, the one top player is Maxey. He's fine. I mean the other two guys, the aging stars. How does he fix this? And I've lost complete confidence in this team. I've lost complete confidence with this organization moving forward. And as long as he's in charge of moving us forward, I just don't see how it gets done. I'm not calling for his job. I'm not. I'm not at that point just yet. Because quite frankly, he put us in this position. He ought to be the one that fixes it for us to get us out of it quickly. But I'm just so disappointed and angry right now at the Sixers, at Daryl Morey, at Joel Embiid, at Paul George, at me as a fan for buying into this, for believing this. I'm almost mad at myself for this. For selling this to our listeners as a pro guy, a pro Sixer, a pro Joelen guy, so pro Joel Embiid guy. I'm upset at myself for that, embarrassed for myself for that. But right now, man, this is bad with the Sixers, and I don't really see any type of plausible resolution happening anytime soon.
So I agree with a lot of what you said there in terms of how you feel right now. I mean, I think anyone who, myself, like, not just included, but myself, you know, primarily, who, you know, co-signed everything that happened this year and has believed in this up until this point, really feels stupid, kind of. I think that is the... I would feel more sad about it if I didn't feel so frustrated and how stupid I feel right now for buying into it, right? I think, like, you know, you talk about the era of Sixers basketball that we've been living through, all just at least hoping for a run. I think we went from hoping for a championship to hoping for a run. And I would say, you know, looking out over the next 2 or 3 years or even 3 to 5 years, it's really difficult to even think that is going to happen. I mean, this feels like it could be the end of all of it. And as you said, the path forward, we'll get into that later. I don't even know what the path forward is at this point. We're so deep into this, I don't even know what to say. As far as Joel goes, I think my feelings on that are mixed too. You know, I'm disappointed at how he took care of himself over the years. I'm disappointed at how he didn't show up in a Boston series and a Miami series. But then I look at a guy who also, like, was the best or second best player in the league for 3 straight years and gave us, you know, was one of the best players we've ever seen at his peak in a Sixers uniform. And even if he had done all the right things, we might be in the same exact situation. I look at a guy whose body is failing him and may never be what he was. Mm-hmm. So I have mixed feelings on that. As far as what Daryl did, like, I have a hard time criticizing what he did because I would have done the same thing. I look back at this offseason, and you say that he is the one that put us in this situation. That's not exactly true. He walked into this situation, and he walked into a situation with Joel Embiid as the best player on the team, and his directive was to try to find a way to create a championship team around Joel Embiid. Unless you got here and you decided, I'm not doing it with Joel, which I wouldn't have done. I will say this over and over again. No matter how bad the Embiid thing ends, I saw a player who was one of the best 5 players in the league. And even with all of the issues, I will take my chances on that guy as opposed to anybody else. So once he starts building around that, he gets rid of the Ben Simmons situation, brings in James Harden. That doesn't work. You know, the James Harden situation blows up in his face, does whatever he can last year, creates what I think is a successful trade with the Clippers, clears the cap space, signs Paul George. Now, at the time, I looked at it and I said, I agree with signing Paul George. And if you're going to sign Paul George, you got to give Embiid the extension. This is where we are. So this situation is dire. It's terrible, but I would have done the same things.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
And I look back at the era of Daryl Morey, and I look, we got Tyrese Maxey under Daryl Morey. We got Jared McCain under Daryl Morey. Here we are in a situation, we signed Gershon Yabusele. There's a minimum contract that works, right? Mm-hmm. We look at all, we get Kelly Oubre off the scrap heap. Oh my God, look, he can play now. The Caleb Martin contract, I agreed with that. It was about half of what they thought he would get. So here we are, and it didn't work. And sometimes a bet that you make doesn't work, but it doesn't mean it wasn't the right bet to make. I still think, looking back at this past offseason, it was the right bet to make. It didn't work. It blew up in his face. It might cost him his job. It might cost Nick Nurse's job. It might cost, you know, Paul George his legacy. It may cost Joel Embiid his legacy. I would have done the same thing. It didn't work. He will have to pay for that. But I don't think what he did, looking back on it, I can't think of another plan.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. And I'm not going to sit here and run off a list of players that he could have signed. He should have signed this guy. He should have signed that guy. I'm not about to do that. quite frankly, I don't make enough money to do that. And if you gave me that type of money, where that was solely my focus, then I probably could come up with something.
$10 or $15 million a year, you might be able to come up with all the players.
Yeah, I come up with something.
Yeah.
Here's where I don't let Daryl Morey off the hook. I understand that's tempting to sort of reinvest in Embiid, to bring in a Paul George. I understand why that's tempting, but it's also the safe route. It's the easy route. It's the, well, what else would you do? Would you have done something differently? How about you have the ability to see that this guy's history of injury isn't going to get any better, and the idea of continuing to build around that in the hopes that he stays healthy enough for you to win a title by bringing in another aging star, not a younger player, not a guy that's 27 years old, whereas, okay, if it doesn't work, at least Maxey has somebody that he can move forward with and build with. And again, I don't know who that player is, but that's if I'm Daryl Morey, that's what I should have been focused on. Not building around Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, if healthy and if he's available, that's a great asset. But to make him my focal point of how I build this team moving forward, it was a hope and a prayer. And we've been here long enough to know, and you and I, and you bigger than anybody, are huge Embiid fans. But I know I've gone into every year saying, man, I hope this is the year. You know, give me 65 games. Give me 60 games, big fella. Play at that MVP level. Man, if you could just do this, I know how good and how far this team could go. I've done that every year of Joel Embiid's career. It's not something that you're building on based on a foundation that's there that, oh, I've seen this, and this is what it's projecting to be moving forward. Let's continue to build that way. He put together a team around guys who aren't even available. And not only that, he saddled us. He saddled us with these guys for 4 to 5 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years. Embiid was already on a contract. I understand it would have been a tough, unpopular decision to not give him an extension. I didn't agree with the Mavericks trading Luka to the Lakers at 25 years old. We'll find out whether or not that GM was right or wrong. What's his name? Nico Harris?
Nico Harris.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yep.
We'll find out if Luka is still the same, lazy, can't play defense, comes in out of shape at times, only cares about hogging the ball and getting his offense off. We'll see if that leads them to something. We'll see. And Lakers are going to reinvest in him and give him an extension and he'll resign and all that whole thing. But the Mavericks did that for a reason. And they had the guy in the building. He's completely, well, not completely healthy, but mostly healthy. GMs with those type of moves either get labeled stupid or crazy or smart. I always viewed Daryl Morey as a riverboat gambler. He made moves in Houston with OKC, moving guys in, found Dwight Howard, found Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Like, he brought guys in and out of there, man. He made moves. This one, I feel like everything has been based on Joel Embiid being here and trying to build a team around him. And at some point, Spike, somebody has to say, it's run its course. And as much as I love the big fella, that's where I'm at. That's sort of where I'm at, ultimately. And Daryl Morey has to get us out of this.
215-592-9494. The Sixers got into the process to get out of purgatory, and we wake up on, what is it, February 24th, 2025. Where are we? Seems like we're in purgatory again.
Yeah.
Just with different players. So
this is going to be awesome?
Yeah, probably not. Not for the next few years. 215-592-9494.
He's got his little football team. That's all he cares about now.
He's about to get Myles Garrett.
Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Doom and gloom. I know we just from 2 weeks from a Super Bowl. I know this ain't doom and gloom. Hey, Commanders, this is what you got to look out for. Look, y'all, everybody was happy with Embiid, all them. Ray first. Hey, this is what you got to look out for. Listen, Joel Embiid is a great talent, one of the best players, one of the best bigs ever played in Philadelphia. Obviously, we know that. But Joel Embiid is a big contributor. Like, his body failed him, as Spike said. Obviously, like, you can't control injuries, but it's like, when you look at the top down of the organization, like, to me, Josh Harris, he's an absentee owner. We know that. Like, he only care about the Commanders right now because it's a hot new toy. You know, he going to start worrying about them soon, too. But if you look at Daryl Morey, like Ike said, he a Riverboat guy. Like, he goes out here and he, like, does what everybody expects. Like, he signs a hot name. Paul George ain't never been a solution to anybody's problem, right? When you sit up here and you look at, like, OKC, when they traded Paul George for SGA, everybody thought, ooh, remember the Clippers? Kawhi Leonard was coming off a title. Everybody thought, ooh, Kawhi Leonard, midnight, he's going to the Clippers. Everybody thought they was going to do something. What'd they do?
I don't even know if they made it to the. Did they make it to the Western Conference Finals?
They did when Kawhi was hurt and Paul George was the best player on the team.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. They lost. Was that the Phoenix series they lost?
Might have been the Phoenix.
I think it was the
series.
Phoenix series when Phoenix went to the finals.
Yes, the Chris Paul, Devin Booker team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So you sit up here and you look at a guy like Paul George. He's never been the guy that's going to get you over the top. And you paying him at 34 years old. It's like, I look at a team like OKC and like what they invested in SGA. You got a guy in Tyrese Maxey. I'm not saying he SGA.
He's
but this
not.
Dude, Tyrese Maxey, is a stone.
SGA's like 6'6", man. What are we talking about here?
But listen, but come on now. Like, SGA's 6'6". Everybody love OKC, right? Now, OKC got talent.
Yeah, but
we're going to see if they can get over the top. What I'm saying is a guy like Tyrese Maxey, you sitting up here looking at height. Like, I don't care. I'm looking at talent, the game of basketball. This dude, Tyrese Maxey, is a stone cold killer, and he out here playing with a retirement home or an injury folk. Paul George ain't never been nothing. Joel Embiid in and out the lineup. Taylor Marwin, everybody was hyped on the team, but all these dudes don't fit with him. Go out there. You got to get rid of Joel Embiid while you can. I don't even know if you can.
No. That ship has sailed for a little while.
If you could get anything for him, you know, you might get, you know, pennies to a dollar. I don't know. But the problem is that you got to move on from Joel Embiid if you want to be successful. And investing in Tyrese Maxey is your best choice right now. But that's what you got to do if you want to be.
Well, if they want to win a championship, they need a player better than Tyrese Maxey. That's the issue, is that he can't be the best player on a championship team. This and I understand the frustration, Corey, and I don't want to go through circle, you know, but this is the problem. The problem is in the NBA, you need a guy who is one of the best five players in the league, and Tyrese Maxey's not going to be that. He's a great player. I love him. All that kind of stuff.
Right, but what I'm saying is, and you keep pushing back on this, when OKC made that trade for SGA, and I get it, SGA said nobody thought SGA was going to be what he is right now. Can nobody tell me when they traded Paul George for SGA, they thought SGA was balling?
No, they wouldn't have traded him.
but you know what? You know what? Everyone in this city would say the same thing about Sam Presti as they say about Daryl Morey. How many championships has Sam Presti won as general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No, but
how many?
No, he won zero.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
I'm not talking about the general manager. When did you hear me bring that up? I'm talking about the player. I didn't say get rid of Daryl Morey. Did I say that?
Nope.
I didn't say that. I'm talking about the player. SGA, this is only his second, third year showing that he could be that dude. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think he can. I don't think he can. And thank you for the call, Corey. And if he can, he's still
here. You're saying you don't think you can win. Well, SGA needs help, too. He's not getting out of the West by himself.
I just don't think
Chet Holmgren ain't helping.
I just don't think I love Tyrese. And by the way, Tyrese Maxey's still here. You know, he's still here. They didn't get rid of him. They didn't trade him for anything. He's still here. He's still a great player. I still think if they're going to win a championship. Now, here's the other question is, at this point, this is the irony of the last decade we've been in. I think we would all take a good team that played every night over a team that has a chance to win a championship, to be honest with you, a nice solid 50-win team that we're all proud of or whatever. But if you're talking about a championship, you have to maneuver a way to find a way to get a player who is competing to be one of the best players in the league. And I don't think I think it's the same problem with the Knicks, right? I don't think Jalen Brunson's ever that, and I don't think Tyrese Maxey's ever that. And that is the...
Well, that's why the Knicks had to go out, and they got... they went out and got Towns. Yeah, they went out and got Towns.
All right. We will continue to talk about this. And next, we're going to talk about actually the Embiid physical situation and what that...
Enough.
Yeah. We've had so many positive shows. Yeah. Honestly, so
man,
many.
We're back though.
Yeah,
we're
Jack back. Comes back and
yeah, doom and gloom. Fred, some say.
Yeah, that's what some are saying.
Until the Phils play,
that's what some are saying. All right, so we'll talk about
rush that
215-592-9494. We'll keep talking about Embiid and Morey and what you think about now and moving forward. And we'll talk about that physical situation next with Joel. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.